Okay, good morning. So, hope everyone had a nice Yantif. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we finished the review on Borer, and it was a question of which malacha we should continue with now, we should jump to. So it suggested that perhaps we start from the beginning of the Lamatas Malachos, and we'll see how far we go. Now, as mentioned, perhaps that there will be a class in the summer. We'll see, up for discussion. But what we're going to do today is we're going to start from the beginning of the Lamatas Malachos, and the first of the 39 Malachos is the Malacha of Zoreya, planting. Now, planting, sowing, planting means just one seed, and sowing is over throughout an entire field, a lot at one time, but the first malacha is planting, and a question that maybe perhaps some of you have heard, if you know the order, Zoreya and Choresh. First comes planting, and then number two is Choresh, is plowing. So the truth is, if you think about it, really plowing should come before planting. First you have to plow the field, you make a hole, and then, which halachos will discuss Bez Hashem next time, and then you start putting in the seeds. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara, they discuss that why Zoreya is before Choresh, because in certain places they do Choresh before and after, but not so important for us right now, but that's just why we're starting with the Malacha of Zoreya. Of course, as we mentioned a number of times, every Malacha that we have, that was based on what they did in the Midbar for the purpose. Okay, this is for Yartzeit? Or
my father.
Your father, no, Fushlema. And should be a first name of a Levi HaKohen Ben Rach. So the every malacha is based on what they did to build the Mishkan. Of course, there was planting in order for the Mishkan, whether to have for the bread, for the lechem apanim, or to plant the herbs, for the dyes, for the colors. Either way, they definitely did Zoreya amongst the Mishkan. Now, the definition of Zoreya is any activity that causes or improves the growth of any plant. Any activity that causes or improves the growth of any plant. Meaning, I don't think anyone here is going on Shabbos to take a seed and get on their hands and knees and start planting seeds in the ground. We're not going to do that on Shabbos. I think we all know that. But any activity, we'll see there's a number of activities that could just enhance the growth of a certain plant or grass or a tree, and that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. And the halacha is that to transgress the halacha of Zoreya, that's even if it's a kol shehu. A kol shehu means a tiny bit. If you plant just one seed, or if you just improve a plant or grass, even by a minute amount, even a little bit, if you improve the growth of a plant, that itself is already the halacha of Zoreya. So now there's a big discussion, when exactly does somebody transgress the halacha of Zoreya? At what point are they over the iser of the halacha of Zoreya? Opinion number one is that let's say I come Shabbos afternoon and I put a seed in the ground. So opinion number one says that I am chaya for Zoreya right at that point. On Shabbos afternoon, I put the seed in the ground, even though it won't take root for another 3 days. The place can tell us that it takes around 3 days to take root, to germinate and to take root. So I put the seed in the ground Shabbos afternoon, even though it won't take root until Tuesday afternoon, but I am chayev right then. As long as I put the seed in the ground in a place that it is able to take root, then already I am chayev at that point. That is opinion number one. Opinion number two is that no, since it doesn't take root right away, of course it doesn't take root right away, it takes root, let's say, on Tuesday afternoon. So opinion number two says that on Tuesday afternoon, when it takes root, then you are chayiv, you transgress retroactively, what we call lemafreya. Retroactively is a term that we use many times in halacha, retroactively back to Shabbos. Of course, you're not mechal Shabbos on a Tuesday, but when it takes root on Tuesday, then you are chayiv for what you did 3 days ago on Shabbos. Now, what's the difference between these two opinions? What's the difference if I put it on Shabbos afternoon and it takes root Tuesday afternoon? What's the difference when I am chayiv? Either way, I did the avera. So the difference is, let's say somebody takes out the seed on Sunday or Monday. Let's say someone takes out the seed, me or somebody else, before it takes root. According to opinion number one, you're still chayiv. You still transgress the malacha of Zoreya. According to opinion number two, that you're not obligated until it takes root. So then that person saved you, that person did you a big favor, and took out the seed before it actually took root. So what's the difference over here? The halacha is that since Zareya is a malacha deraisa, so we're supposed to be strict, and you're not supposed to put any seeds in the ground on Shabbos, even if you have full intention of taking it out on Sunday or on Monday. Because according to opinion number one, you're still going to be chayev for putting it in the ground on Shabbos. So of course we need to be strict, and you can't go ahead and do that even if you plan on taking out the seed. However, but let's say you're sitting Shabbos afternoon in your backyard and you're eating watermelon or cantaloupe or a peach or an apple, and somehow accidentally, which you need to be careful of, you throw an apple core or you throw a peach pit or some watermelon seeds onto the grass or onto the soil, so you have to be careful about that and you shouldn't be doing that on Shabbos. But let's say it does happen, so what you should do is, so according to opinion number one, you already transgressed. According to opinion number two, since you're not chayav until it takes root, what you should do is you should go ahead and remove the seed from the ground. You should remove the pit off of the floor, off of your backyard. You should remove the watermelon seeds or the apple core, whatever it was that your kids or you threw on the floor by mistake. You should go ahead and remove it. Now,
so it's not
Hold on a second. Let me finish. So I didn't say when you have to remove it. Okay, we'll get there. So one thing. First of all, if you throw an apple core or a peach pit or a watermelon seed or a cantaloupe seed onto the grass, you shouldn't do it. But it's not necessarily going to be considered planting, because the halacha is, as we alluded to before, it's only considered planting when it's somewhere that it can take root. If you put it in a sandbox or in the desert, that's not Zoreya, because it's never going to take root. So somewhere where people walk on, even if really the soil would be technically okay, but if it's somewhere that Yidrusu Bei Rabim, that people, everybody walks on, and your kids are playing on it, and they're kicking it up, and it's somewhere that it's never going to take root, so then that's not Zoreya. That wouldn't be a problem anyway. I would not suggest going and doing it on Shabbos, but if quite possibly, anyways, it's not a problem of Zoreya if it's somewhere that people are going to walk on, and it's a soil that it's not going to take root, so that's, first of all, it may not be a problem. But even if you suspect that perhaps it would be able to take root eventually, then we said the way out is to at least avoid it, according to opinion number two, is to remove those seeds. And now the discussion is, when should I remove it? Should I remove it on Shabbos, or should I wait until after Shabbos? Now, one of the factors you need to consider is, as you all just called out, is this muksa. We discussed halachos of muksa, and we said that a peach pit is muksa on Shabbos. As long as you're eating the peach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that it's not muksa because it's tofel to the peach. But once you've finished and you throw it on the floor, your kids throw it on the floor, then it becomes muksa. So if it becomes muksa, if it's something that's for sure muksa, like a peach pit or something like that, then yes, you should not move it on Shabbos. Keep a note of where it is. After Shabbos, you should try to remember, either Matzah Shabbos or Sunday, definitely as soon as possible, and you should go ahead and remove it. There are certain types of pits that are not muksa. They say an apple core is not muksa. There's always some type of apple that is still edible left on it, and therefore the apple core is not muksa, so that will be allowed to be removed on Shabbos. Although there's those that say that no, that the same way that Zoreya, by putting it there, perhaps it's kotzer, by removing it. If it's not muksa, you should remove it on Shabbos. That's practically the halacha. If it's something that is muksa, then make a note of it, of where it is, and you should remove it after Shabbos.
You know how they say, like, one of my kids once told me about, like, cutting your kid's nails at a certain time because then it will grow on Shabbos?
Okay.
So, like, is there a planting rule before?
No, that's a very good question. So, if you plant, that, see, either way, the malacha is the actual planting. So even according to opinion number two, that when it takes root, it's retroactive to when you plant. But if I plant 1 minute before Shabbos, so okay, 1 minute, we're not sure exactly when Shkia is, but if you plant right before Shabbos, that's not a problem, because the act is, it's the actual act of planting that's the Isser, and that's not a problem as far as doing it before Shabbos. Even if it may start growing on Shabbos, if I plant Wednesday afternoon, and then it starts takes root on Shabbos, that's not a problem. As far as the nails, the reason why you preferably you're supposed to cut your toenails Thursday night and your fingernails on Friday is because since they're going to grow back on the third day, so it's not covered, you know, it's just covered Shabbos, that your nails are long again for the purpose of long again on Shabbos, and you didn't really accomplish anything. So that's why preferably it's really nothing to do with the fact that, oh, now they're going to start growing on Shabbos. Yeah. A lot of people make that misunderstanding. The place can say explicitly, don't think that it's because that it's going to start growing back on Shabbos. Rather, just simply that since the nails are going to grow back on Shabbos, so then it's going to be not covered Shabbos. They have long nails on Shabbos. So the best is to cut your fingernails on Friday, and your toenails, you're not supposed to cut the fingernails and the toenails on the same day, because that's what we do to a mace. So preferably you do the toenails Thursday night and the fingernails on Friday. I just thought this recently.
That's not the same day, Thursday night and Friday?
So even though halachically we consider it the same day, but over here we don't have to worry about that. The only reason why we're doing it different days is because to a mace, by a Tara, we do it exactly at the same day, the same time. So for this, this is sufficient enough. We want it as close to Shabbos as possible. So the place can tell us that the toenails is not visible. The toenails are not visible. So we do that Thursday night, and the fingernails closer to Shabbos. But if you have a specific reason, anyways, and you have a wedding, you have a wedding, something on Tuesday, Wednesday, you see that your nails are long, you're allowed
you're
to cut them on Wednesday.
Really is a specific day?
That's what I just said. Yeah. Preferably, you're supposed to cut your toenails Thursday night and your fingernails
what
Friday.
Well,
you could do it Sunday. There's no, Sunday for sure is not a problem. But then this way, it grows back before Shabbos. So I'll cover Shabbos. How do we get to this? Okay. Let's continue.
Even for kids?
Even for kids. It's because of covered Shabbos. And it should be look nice for Shabbos. So then preferably it should be done as close to possible as Shabbos. Let's continue with other cases of outdoors, and then we'll move towards indoors cases of Zareya. Of course, watering plants, besides putting seeds in the ground, but of course, watering plants obviously is not allowed on Shabbos as well. Watering plants, watering grass, because that's included in improving the growth. So no one's going to go ahead and do that on Shabbos. What about a sprinkler system? Many of us have an automatic sprinkler system. So are you allowed to use a sprinkler system on Shabbos? Of course, with a Shabbos clock. Of course, no one's going to go turn on the water on Shabbos. But are you allowed to do that or not? So anyone here, including myself, who uses Shabbos clocks for your lights, of course you're not allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos, but you set the Shabbos clock before Shabbos, and then boom, the lights go on Shabbos. If you turn on your Shabbos clock, if you use a Shabbos clock for your lights, really you'd be allowed to use a Shabbos clock for your sprinkler system. It's a malacha that you're not doing on Shabbos, you're setting it up before Shabbos. Technically it's allowed. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says straight out, you're allowed to use a sprinkler system on Shabbos, of course, with a Shabbos clock. You're allowed to go ahead and use it. However, the place can tell us that for a sprinkler system, even through a Shabbos clock, it's preferable not to do that on Shabbos. And that's because, as you all could have guessed, it just doesn't look right. It's Avshe Milsa, it's Zilzul Shabbos. Shmuel Shabbos Kachosa says it's not Avshe Milsa, because that's only by noise, not by sight. But other Paiskim, they bring it from Moshe Feinstein. As you could have guessed, I spoke to Rabbi Sachs, and he says also, you shouldn't do it. And he says, it's just not right. So preferably, if you have a certain type of system that you could turn it off before Shabbos, that'll be the best, or at least adjust the time that it'll go, Friday right before Shabbos, and then Motzei Shabbos. If a person really feels that, it hasn't rained in a while, and they really need it, and it's going to ruin it, and they spend so much money, and they need to ask a Shiloh, the time to do it would be to set it for 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. This way, by the time people come out in the morning, no one sees it at that time, usually. And this way, when people walk the shul, the grass is probably not so wet anymore, so it wouldn't be so noticeable. But technically, as far as the malacha of Zoreya, if you use a Shabbos clock and you usually rely on Shabbos clocks, it would not be a problem. But the problem is just as far as Avshe Milsa and Zilzul of Shabbos, a disgrace to the Shabbos, so that definitely should be avoided if you can. In certain dire situations, a Shiloh would be asked. Perhaps you'd be allowed to use it at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
I have a question. I was just at my summer class, and I actually thought it was brilliant. She had plants, and she had put, for Shabbos, a piece of ice. She said she read it somewhere.
Not a penny? Okay.
It's like
now that makes it go upstream.
It slowly waters the plants.
Oh, ice as far as the water. Okay.
So she kept it there from before Shabbos, and I was actually there on Shabbos. I thought it was so smart, actually. So
okay.
She read them like
it's a good idea. We're going to talk about vases shortly.
It was
regular plants. Okay, I would think if you put that in before Shabbos, I don't see why that's a problem. We pass on like Beis Hillel that any malacha that you start before Shabbos, even if it continues on Shabbos, unless it's very loud or something like that, like a washing machine or something, or then you shouldn't do that. But any malacha that you start before Shabbos, even if it continues on Shabbos, really would be allowed. Yeah, so that's a good idea.
That's a blanket statement.
Siman Reishin Beis and Shulchan Aruch. It's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Of course, we pass on like Beis Hillel that any malacha that you start before Shabbos, you could continue. It could continue by itself on Shabbos.
Like turning on a washing machine. Or
so I said, except for washing machine or dryer, that's something loud. The Shulchan Aruch example is a millstone. We don't have millstones, but something that's loud, like a washer, a dryer, a vacuum cleaner. Okay, you're not going to then put it on the whole Shabbos, or a dishwasher. That something that's loud shouldn't be done from before Shabbos if it's going to continue on Shabbos. But otherwise, such a malach will be allowed. So that's as far as the sprinkler system. Again, better not to, but in certain situations, you could ask a shayla, and perhaps you'd be able to get a heter to use it in the middle of the night. As far as turning off a sprinkler system, we'll get to that a little bit in a few minutes. Another shayla of outdoors. You can't wash your hands outdoors. If you want to wash your hands for stam washing your hands or for hamotzi, you're not allowed to wash your hands outdoors over grass or over a plant. Now, when is this nogeya? Perhaps it's nogeya on sukkahs. If you have, you eat outside and let's say you have a sink outside or somebody brings water outside to the parents, to the husband, whatever it is, you bring the water outside, so you're not allowed to pour your hands, to wash your hands on top of the grass, even though you couldn't care less as far as watering the grass. It's a double shein mischaven, but obviously it's what we call a psikresha. It's for sure going to happen, and the water is going to land on the grass, so that's considered improving the grass, and that is not allowed on Shabbos. If you have a sink outside, so if you turn on the water very strong, so it's going to splash off of the sink, and it's going to splash onto the grass, if there's grass underneath. So is that allowed or not? Preferably you shouldn't turn it on so strong that it's going to for sure spritz and splash onto the grass. Quite possibly anyways it will be okay. Sometimes Amon Orbach seems to say that that will be okay, but that's just something to be cognizant of when you wash your hands outside, which quite possibly will be nogeya on Sukkos. Or okay, barbecue, we usually have barbecues on during the week, but let's say eating Shalosh Shuddos outside. I know my parents, a lot of times, if we have a lot of guests for Shalosh Shuddos and it's a gorgeous day, we'll have Shalosh Shuddos outside. That's something to be careful of as far as washing your hands on top of grass. The Ramah says, hold on one second, let me just finish this section. The Ramah says that it's toiv lahachmir, it's good to be stringent as far as drinking outside. In general, to drink outside, not only to wash your hands, but to drink outside. Let's say you're making a kiddush and you're making a kiddush outside in the backyard. So sometimes it's very hard to avoid spilling. So the Ramah says that it's not obligated, but it's a good thing to be machmir to not drink in general outside. Now, because it's not only for water that helps the growth, it's also coffee or soda or juice or wine. Anything could help except certain liquids that are bad for the grass, but most liquids are good for the grass and that'll help the growth, so that should be avoided to drink outside. Now you find many times that people do make kiddushes outdoors. You find even shuls with Rabbanim in charge that they make a kiddush outside. So where does that come from that we are lenient a lot to make a kiddush outdoors? So there's a number of explanations why that's the case. One explanation is that the Ramah that said that you shouldn't do it was talking about where you eat mamish on the ground, you know, like a picnic. You set up a blanket and you put the cups on the floor so it could tip and it could fall onto the floor, directly onto the floor. That perhaps is where you need to avoid such a thing. Other reasons why there's ways to be makel. We have tables. When we have a kiddush, we have a table. A lot of times the table is sturdy, and you find, like you notice by kiddushes, most people are not spilling very often. Nowhere does it say that the reason why you shouldn't is because of kids. It's not because of the kids that they're going to spill. It doesn't say anywhere in halacha as far as that. So if you're going to make a kiddush in the backyard, preferably what you should do is, if you're going to set up the drinks table, people like to do that. You have the drinks table with the sodas and the grape juice and the wine and the ice and things like that, and then all the other stuff. So if you have part of your backyard is cement and part is the grass, so preferably you should have the soda and all the other drinks on the cement part. If people walk around, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to stop them. But if it's on the cement part, that'll be the best. Technically speaking, really, if you don't have any cement in your backyard and you really want to make a kiddush in your backyard, there definitely is what to rely on. We have a table, it's basically sturdy, and you're not eating or drinking on the floor itself, so then really we have what to rely on. But of course, you need to be careful not to go ahead and, don't fill the cup to the tippy-tippy top if you're above the grass. There was recently someone in the Gudah made a kiddush in the backyard a couple months ago, and all the drinks were on the cement part, and I was, really impressed. So I went over to my Solomon Shul on Sunday. I said, "Well, it's a beautiful kiddush, mazel tov again, even for a girl." And so for a while, to make sure to come to the girls, people shouldn't think I have anything against baby girls. And I said to them, I was really impressed. It was a beautiful kiddush, and I said, I was very impressed by the fact that, the drinks were on the cement part. So he gave me the face like he didn't even think of that. He just did it because of, so I tried to give him credit. I'm not sure if he totally had that in mind, but that is preferable to have the drinks on the cement part of the backyard. If you have the carpet underneath, that's also good. Yeah, that would also be good. Then it would avoid, even if it spills, to avoid going on the grass.
What about a dripping garbage bag?
A dripping garbage bag should not be done. If you see that the garbage is dripping and you're running out of the house and you know that it's going to be going over the grass, if the way you need to go, so then that's a psikresha. It's dripping right now, and yes, you couldn't care less, but that's a psikresha, and that's directly falling on the grass. It's very good hara. It's a good point. A lot of times it drips through. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. The liquid over there, even though it's gross, but that, it's, what is it? It's ready. It's water, soda, it's gravy, it's something that Those are all. Misasik? Look, I'm sorry.
It's not like
misasik. It's misasik, you know, if it's something, maybe. Think about it. It's a good point. Could be. I would still suggest not.
Even
I'm sorry.
If it's not, I said your reaction.
Okay, but I have to think about it. Could be. I have to think about it more. It's something like that, I don't want to answer off on the fly. On the fly, but I have to think about it. It's a good point. Yeah.
I'm gonna backtrack a moment to the dryer. Sometimes,
yeah.
Right.
Excellent question. We're going to wait till we get to halachas of malabin. Okay? It's a complicated question. We're going to discuss that. And I'll be able to answer you after this year, just as far as the practical halacha. But to get into it now, I'm just not going to be able to, but don't run away. Okay? But by the halachas of malabin, malabin is going to take us more than one class. It's going to take us, Bez Hashem, two classes. Malabin means to clean, to whiten. So schita and all these things, those are all included in malabin, and doing hanging out laundry and things like that. When I'm allowed to, dryers. Oh, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about that separately, but I'm not going to be able to get into it right now.
I just have something, because there's really no gap for like every single Friday, the wet towels.
Wet towels is all included in it. At 10 o'clock, Bli Nether, I'm going to talk to you first, okay? But it's just too complicated to get into right now, okay? Another practical question. Another practical problem is, once we're talking about sukkahs, a lot of times people have, if it's raining on sukkahs, and they don't want the rain to get into the sukkah, things are in the sukkah, the dishes, or the table, or the chairs, so we put a tarp over the schach. So we're not learning bona right now as far as an oil and things like that. We'll also get that Bez Hashem to at a different time. But, sorry? So it fills up with water. The tarp fills up with water, and then comes the next morning and it stopped raining, so you want to remove the tarp, and all the water is going to fall off to the side of the sukkah onto the grass. So that's a psik resha, even though you don't care about it, but that's something that you're going ahead and you're doing, and that's a psik resha, and then therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So now what could I do? Practically, the tarp is on the schach, it's full of water, I could see. I went to my second floor, I looked out the window, I see, it's full of water. I know for a fact it's full of water, and there's grass right next to the sukkah, so what can be done? So first off, if it was a major thunderstorm, and the grass is totally saturated, so then any more water is not going to help the grass. Perhaps it even is bad for the grass. So that's one way out, that if you're confident that the grass is totally saturated and it's not going to help, so then that's one way that you'd be allowed to do it anyway. Chances are that's not the case. It could be it was just a regular rainstorm, but if it's saturated, then the place can tell us then it's not a problem because it's not going to help. It's even bad for it. Even without that, there's other solutions. First of all, you could tell a guy to do it. Now, this may be hard to do. Usually, if you have a guy in the house, then it's a lady. But if you have a guyish neighbor who's willing to do it for you, a guy, you're it's mutter to tell a guy to do a psik resha. It's a great thing to keep in mind. In general, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's permitted to tell a guy to do a psik resha, meaning something that you have no intention for, but it's automatically going to happen. So then, if you have no intention for it, even though it's automatically going to happen, you're allowed to tell a guy. So you tell the guy to take out the garbage, then it's sure not a problem.
That's like opening an oven, right?
Yeah, it gets involved in opening an oven. Also a good question.
I don't understand psik resha. What is that?
Psik resha is the following. If there's something that I have no intention for, I couldn't care less, it doesn't bother me. I shouldn't say I couldn't care less, but that's not what I have in mind to do. So I don't have a mind to do it. When I take off the tarp, I'm not having in mind to water the grass.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a mind to take off the tarp. I'm having a mind to wash my hands. The water just happens to fall on the grass.
Okay.
So that's something that we call a davar she'ein mischav. It's something that I don't have in mind for.
But,
hold on a second, but it's something that will automatically happen. So even though I don't have in mind for it, but it will automatically happen. I wash my hands over the grass, automatically the water is going to fall on the grass and it's going to improve the grass. So therefore that is not allowed. That's what we call a davar she'ein mischav. I don't have in mind for it, but it's a psik resha. It's for sure going to happen. So it may depend if I'm happy with it, if it's good for me, it's not good for me. These examples, these are all good for me because it's going to water my grass. So I am happy about that. Just I'm really not doing it for that. So, but since it's for sure going to happen, so it's not allowed. But to tell a guy to do something that is allowed. Yeah, there's a psik resha d'nichalei, that's what I just said. Psik resha that you're happy about, psik resha that you're not happy about. These examples are all things that I'm happy about. It's going to water my grass. After all, I am happy about the fact that my grass is getting watered. Another way out, which is probably the most practical, is the following. What you can do is you take a sheet, so you have a plastic tablecloth, you put the sheet over the grass where the water is going to land, and then you take off the tarp. The water will fall onto the plastic, and then through a grumma, through like, not directly, indirectly, the water will fall off of the plastic, and then it'll go on the grass. Since that is indirect, So that is permitted for the purpose of a mitzvah. This is a purpose for the sukkah. This is a mitzvah. And therefore, for sure, since it's a mitzvah, we say that a grumma is permitted. So this is a grumma. This is indirectly happening. It's falling on the sheet. And then the water trickles off from the sheet onto the grass. So then we say, for the purpose of a mitzvah, that is allowed. And similarly, if it's not going to fall directly on the grass, it's going to fall onto my cement, and then we know that it's going to go on from the cement, it's so much water, it's going to go from the cement onto the grass. Also, that's not a problem, because that is indirect, and therefore that is permitted.
What about if your sukkah is like on concrete, and the grass is far, far away?
So then it's not even a psik resha, it's not even for sure going to reach the grass. But even if it, so even it for sure will reach the grass, since the water first goes onto the concrete and then it travels to the grass, that's also considered indirect, and that's not a problem for the purpose of a mitzvah.
Would that also be on a deck? Even the deck
is
flat, so it's
going to... But I don't think that the slots are big enough that it's going to go straight down to the dirt underneath, which there's dirt underneath, so it's not Zareo, it'll be Choresh.
Most people
but
have like a... Under the deck, it's been covered with some kind of...
Okay, so then anyways, not a problem. I would think anyways over there will be considered a grumma. It'll go first onto the deck, and then it'll trickle down or drip down, even though it's for sure going to happen. But if that's indirect, then we say that is permitted. Similarly, let's say you come outside Shabbos afternoon. It rained last night or rained this morning, whatever it is. It's not raining now. And there is a chair or a table or a bench or a swing or a toy that has water in it, water accumulated on it. And now you want to turn it upside down, because you want to be able to just dry it off and sit on it, or your kids want to play with it, so you turn it upside down. Now, again, this is something that you don't care. It's davar she'ein mischav, and you're really not having a mind to water the grass, but it's something that's for sure going to happen. If I turn this toy upside down, all the water is going to fall onto the grass. Person needs to be careful about that. You have to be cognizant. These things are halachas that you may be able to figure out yourself, but it's just something to be aware of. There's some water on the chair. You just want to splash it off so you could wipe it off, and your kid wants to sit there. You're splashing it off onto the grass. That is something that is not allowed to be done. If you see a rainstorm is about to happen, if you see the future, you could turn the chair upside down. Okay, a swing, you're not necessarily able to do that. A toy, perhaps, you could turn upside down. Then you won't have such an issue. You could avoid it. But if there is water accumulated on something, you cannot just simply turn it over and have the water go onto the onto the grass.
But you could turn it on.
So let's say something like the cozy coupe car.
Right.
So this week I put it onto my driveway and flipped it. But now
okay.
I'm wondering
about that's similar to what you just asked. So the question is a grumma allowed? It's a davar she'ein mischav with a psik resha. Is a grumma allowed? Not for the purpose of a mitzvah. So for the purpose of a mitzvah, we said before that it's allowed. We said before from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that it seems that a grumma is allowed even by a non-mitzvah. We said before about washing your hands. Okay, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wasn't talking about washing your hands, because then you could say washing your hands is also a mitzvah. But he was talking about something that's not even not a mitzvah. And he seemed to say that a grumma would be permitted. I'd have to check it up again, but he seems to say that by a grumma, by something that you really have no intention for, you're not allowed to go ahead and do a grumma. But something that you have no intention for, and it's just a psik resha, it's just automatically going to happen, and it's only a grumma, there are those that say that will be permitted. So then also over here, by the cozy coop, or to pour it under the toy or any type of thing onto the cement, that would also be allowed according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach.
So you couldn't take a bucket and dump the swing, but the swing is full of water.
Yeah, so that you can't
walk over to the swing and pour it into a bucket and take the bucket away?
You could. The water's not muksa, the water, yeah.
So you don't need the water and you're not...
Right, yeah, so you could pour it into a bucket and then just put the bucket off to the side. And then, you could put it onto a bucket, you could allow it. Okay, we're going to have to...
If you have like under, like if you have like, and you can talk about grass, but if you have, let's say, under a swing, there's dirt and then there's the wood chips.
Okay.
And then, but there are plants that pop through the wood chips because that's what they do. Is that considered
either way, that's not allowed, because even if there's no plants whatsoever and it's just soil and dirt, we'll see Bez Hashem when we learn Choresh that also helps. That's considered including in plowing. That it helps, it softens the ground for the purpose, even though you're not doing it for the purpose of planting, but it helps the ground, and now it is better able to be planting, so then that will be a problem of Choresh. When there's grass or plants ready, then that's Zoreya. But even without plants, it will be a problem of Choresh.
So
it'll be the same halacha.
What about air conditioners?
Air conditioning dripping. It's a very good question. That you're not doing whatsoever. You just turn on the air conditioner. Let's say you turn it on before Shabbos, or you set the Shabbos clock before Shabbos. It just happens to drip. That I don't think you have to worry about. No. Yeah.
If you have a brick patio, sometimes in the cracks, like grass, flows through. You know, it's not supposed to be there. And
right. That quite possibly is not a problem. I have to check into that again. But that's could be that's not a choshev considered zereya at all. That's just grass that happened to pop up by itself. Whether it's grass or weeds, it's weeds. Quite possible that that's not a problem whatsoever. I have to look around. I didn't see anyone talk about that when I was doing my research on Zareya. I didn't see anyone give that case, but I could try and look again. Quite possible that's not a problem, because that's not chashivas of Zareya whatsoever. Quite possible.
I'm sorry. The answer to doing a grama that's not for mitzvah
is there? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach seems to say that that's permitted. Okay. That seems permitted. One last discussion of the outdoors, and then we'll get to the indoors, is flower pots. We're going to hold off on flower pots. I do want to get to it, because those of us who do not have flower pots, perhaps it won't be so okay. I did not think, I thought we even like would finish Zareya like even before the shiur is over. So let's skip flower pots. We're going to hopefully have time at the end, and we'll say as much as we can about flower pots. I just want to jump to something else a little bit more practical than flower pots. Watering live plants, of course, is not allowed, whether on the ground or in a flower pot. So you're not allowed to water live plants. That's, as mentioned above, that's not allowed. Let's say it's cut flowers. Cut flowers are ready from before Shabbos. You know, you buy in the store before Shabbos, and you put it in a vase. So the flowers are already cut. It's totally off of the ground. Are you allowed, let's say somebody delivers it right before Shabbos, you're making a simcha, and mamash, a minute before Shabbos, somebody comes and delivers his flowers for Shabbos. So is that allowed to be put in water on Shabbos or not? With the ice cube, with the penny, are you allowed to put water, the cut flowers in water on Shabbos? So the answer is that there's really no iser d'iraisa. It's not forbidden. It's not zoreya on a full-fledged, you know, d'iraisa. But the Ramah says that midrabanan, if the leaves are not completely open and putting them in water will make them open up more, so then that resembles planting, and that is not allowed. That's how most understand the Ramah. Others seem to be more lenient, that if it's open already, you're allowed, even if it's going to get more, only if it's totally closed. But that's how we're going to go, la halacha, that you shouldn't do, even if the plants are a little bit open already. But it's going to open more, or it's not open at all, and when you put it in the water, it's going to start to open for sure, then we say that that should not be done on Shabbos. Midrabanan, that's not planting midaraisa, but since that resembles planting, so if you didn't do it before Shabbos, you can't put them in the water on Shabbos if they're going to open up and enhance the growing a little bit. That is not allowed. That's number one. That's not allowed to be done. If it's totally open already, then you don't have that problem because it's totally open. Number two is, even if it is totally open, you're not allowed to go ahead and fill the vase with water. Or you're not allowed to add water to the vase on Shabbos. Only if the vase is full of water from before Shabbos already. Let's say you got a chance to fill the vase with water, but then you forgot, you didn't put the flowers in. Or let's say the vase was full and the flowers came out. Or the vase was full with other flowers and now you got these flowers. If the vase is full of water, however much water you need, the vase is already full with water, and the flowers are already fully open, then you are allowed to put them in. But to go fill them up, that's considered a tircha, it's a disgrace to Shabbos to go filling up water. It's unnecessary for Shabbos to fill up a vase with water on Shabbos. That we say is not allowed. It's also only forbidden on a derabanan level. It's considered a tircha, detracts from the aura of Shabbos to go start filling up a vase with water. So that is not allowed. So basically, hold on a second, practically the only time it will be allowed to put those flowers and water on Shabbos is if there's already water in there, you don't have to add any more water, and the blossoms, the flowers are totally open. It's better though, definitely, to do this before Shabbos, even if the water is full already and the flowers are open. It is better. Don't just say, "Oh, okay, fine. I might as well wait till Shabbos. I'm busy now." It's better to do it before Shabbos. Not everybody agrees to this, so definitely, it's best to avoid it. And if possible, do it before Shabbos. Additionally, what the Paiskim say, you're not allowed to make on Shabbos a bouquet of flowers. You're not allowed to take a whole arrangement of flowers and put it all together, some flowers from here, some flowers from there. That's, Moshe Feinstein says, that's considered like makah bepatish, on a derabanan level perhaps, but that's considered makah bepatish, and because you're putting together a bouquet of flowers, you know, like a kala has, she has like a nice bouquet, so to put that together, like arrangement, a flower arrangement, that should not be done on Shabbos, but just stop to take it, dump it in the vase, that is allowed if you need to, when the water is totally there, and if the flowers are totally open.
Excuse me, just a quick question?
Yeah?
I thought that, maybe I'm wrong, I thought that flowers for muksa.
These flowers are for sure not muksa. Flowers like that are pretty and that are on the table, that is not muksa. If it's on the table and you can't see your guests and you know you like this the whole meal, you're definitely allowed to remove it.
I know you're allowed to move the vase, but I didn't know you're allowed to like touch the actual flowers.
The flowers itself that were cut before Shabbos are not muksa. Flower pots, we have to discuss separately. Most places can say those are also not muksa. Perhaps our Moshe Feinstein says not like that. But flower pots with a live plant in a flower pot, that hopefully we'll get to separately. But a vase with cut flowers that were cut from before Shabbos, those are not muksa. You got a question?
Yeah. There are times where like either the flowers, you know, drink up a lot of the water.
Okay.
Or it just wasn't enough water. It makes me so nervous. Myla asked someone to like just even point.
To what? To
can
fill
I
it up?
Eat, yeah,
to add water.
To add water, that should not be done on Shabbos. We say midrabban, and that's considered tirchut, that's not should be done on Shabbos.
Shabbos
Yontif, there's a bigger kula by Yontif. Yeah. Yontif has a leniency that it's nageya by the luv and hadasim and naravos, that you're not allowed to fill up a vase for the first time on Yontif, but if the water is already there, you're allowed to add more water on Yontif. Not by Shabbos, but by on Yontif, you're allowed to add water to an already existing pot of water. So on Yontif, it will be allowed. On Shabbos,
what
really, it should not be done. By a non-Jew, so then it goes into the regular halachos of telling a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. So that's not allowed. You know, that's not allowed. Perhaps, I'm sorry? You could hint. No, okay, so then there's a separate halachos as far as hinting. Yeah, those are separate halachos. Bez Hashem, hopefully maybe one day we'll get a chance to do that.
Do you have to stop a guy that's doing it?
Any malacha that you're not allowed to tell a guy to do, and if they're doing it, and they know, and you could tell that they are doing it for you, you have to stop them. A lot of people don't realize that halacha. And it's a big question. Like, I hinted them to turn on my lights, wonderful. You didn't, but you have to stop them. So how do you get around that? So Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Volkin, all looking for answers why everybody hints with turning on the lights and things like that, but what happened to the malacha issue? You have to tell them, you have to stop them. Bez Hashem. Maybe we'll get a chance to learn those halachas, but that would just fall into the regular halachas as far as that. This is all by flowers that are not edible, by foods that are detached from the ground. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter to enhance the growth of food. As long as they're somewhat edible before, you're allowed to enhance the growth of food, because that's not a problem of tircha for food. We don't say there's a problem of tircha, of not the aura of Shabbos, to improve improving a food. So if you have an avocado and you want it to become more ripe, you're allowed to put it on the windowsill or in a bag to make it more ripe and to hasten to make it ripe quicker, because since it was technically edible before, that is allowed on Shabbos. It's not a problem of like improving the growth. For food, we say that is not a problem. If you have plants on the windowsill, then you're not allowed to go ahead and purposely open the shades, open the blinds, or the curtains, in order to let sunlight in, because that is improving enhancing the growth of the plants. You're doing that on purpose. If it's not for the purpose of the plants, I happen to have my 6-year-old, he made a plant, and you know, and I put it on the windowsill so everyone could see. Then I want to open up the shades, and oh my gosh, look what's going to happen. It's going to come in, and it's going to cause. So, again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say that that's mutter. Originally, I had written in my notes that it's not allowed. Then I saw afterwards that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it is permitted. There is what to rely on. If you didn't have in mind for you to you know, for that to happen, it's also in some way a grumma. It's not like I'm taking water and I'm pouring it on the plants. It's just the sunlight comes in automatically. So again, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say that that will be mutter. Perhaps for other reasons as well, if you're not having in mind for that, if you're having in mind, oh, I want to open the shades in order to give the plant sunlight, then that's not allowed. But if you're just opening the shades, stop for sunlight, you know, in the room, and it happens to be that it helps the plant, again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that will be permitted. One last situation as far as aiding the growth is through protection. Through protection. Meaning there are times where something bad is happening to my grass, or something bad is happening to my flower pot or my plants. And I want to do something to prevent that bad thing from happening that could damage my plants. And so it's just preventive measures. The halacha is that is also not allowed on Shabbos. So if it's very, very hot outside, or it's just raining too much, or it's a hailstorm, or a snowstorm, or it's very windy, so you can't cover the plants on Shabbos. And also, you can't close the shades if it's too sunny and say, "Oyvei, my plants are getting ruined." So you're not allowed to specifically go ahead and close the shades. Now, the same idea. If you're just closing the shades because you want to close the shades, and it happens to be that it helps the plant, then also that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would say that's allowed. But any preventive measures for the purpose of improving the plant, that is not allowed. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kachosa says that you're allowed to cover it before the damage is happening. Before the damage is happening. But let's say I know that it's about to pour, I see the sky, or I know from the radio that it's going to pour and it's going to ruin my plants, so I'm allowed to cover it. You have to be careful with oil, but you're allowed to cover it before it starts raining, because since the damage is not coming right now, so I'm just covering it beforehand. Since the damage is not coming right now, I'm allowed to do that. But once the rain is coming now, or in the windy weather, once it's raining now, or the windy weather is coming now, then we say that is not allowed. If the sprinkler system is on, let's say you relied on the Paiskim that we spoke about before, as far as using the sprinkler at certain times, and let's say you ended up or went on by mistake, or somebody turned it on by mistake, so there's a big discussion, and then you realize, oh, it's too much water, so I want to turn it off. So Rav Nissim Karel, it says that you're allowed to turn it off. Because even though, oh, maybe that's, you know, preventive measure, that's not allowed, he says that that's just avoiding more things to come. He says the rain's already here. The water coming from the sprinkler system, that's new water again and again and again. So we say that is new water coming. That we say, he says, is not a problem to do that. Sorry?
It's electronic.
No, if there's a way to turn off the system without electronic, I'm not sure. Is it all electronic? Not necessarily. Is it all electronic? You have the water valve. One thing that the place can do say you have to be careful is, let's say you have more than one, more sprinkler. Let's say you have four around your front yard, different corners of your yard. If you turn off just one of them, then the other ones are going to go higher. That, of course, is not allowed, because by turning off one of them, you're going to be making the other ones. You can't say, oh, the other ones are on already, and I just want to turn off one of them. It's going to cause the other ones to have more pressure of water. Then that's not allowed. Rabbi Sachs told me that it says in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, which I did not see, I looked high and low, I didn't see it there, said that when you turn it off, if the water, you know, we all know what happens, it gets like lower, 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 and then it stops. So when it gets lower, lower, and lower, it waters the grass closer to the sprinkler. She says, because of that, if that's going to happen, you shouldn't do it. I did not see the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa say that. Perhaps, you know, it's something to keep in mind. Again, this is all if you're going to have a sprinkler system going on in the first place. You're not allowed, one last halacha, you're not allowed to spray insecticide on plants on Shabbos in order to prevent them, the insects, to not eat away at the plants. And you can't remove weeds, because those are all things that are here right now. The insects are there, and when you're spraying it, that's also considered a preventive measure to protect, and that is also not allowed on Shabbos. Removing rocks and other garbage or worms anyways, amuksa, which hold back the growth of a tree, those are also not allowed on Shabbos. Anything that, you know, taking away a damage. But if an animal, a squirrel, is, let's say, you know, touching your strawberry patch or your tomatoes or your cucumbers, and the animal's a cat, skunk, and a squirrel is touching it, then you're allowed to chase them away, because that's not considered a preventive measure. That's not considered, you know, a damage now that you're making the growth better. That's just considered guarding your plants. So then we say that is allowed on Shabbos. We didn't get a chance to do the halachos of the flower pots. A lot of it is not so nogea. It depends on, any of you here have flower pots? One person. Okay. You, I would have guessed this flower pots. But it seems like you're an expert in that. It makes a big difference.
Live plants.
Live plants, okay, yeah. Right. Live plants, not from the ground. I mean from a pot. Yeah, okay. So what it makes a difference is if the pot has a hole or not. Your plants are indoors or outdoors?
Indoors. Outdoors. Well, I have both.
Yeah, both. So if they're outdoors and the pot has a hole, so then the halacha is that's considered as if it's connected to the ground. So therefore, if it's connected to the ground, you're not allowed to bring a flower pot with a hole from indoors to outdoors, because then it's considered connected to the ground. Even if it's not on the ground, even if it's just hanging in the air from a hook, that's considered it's getting nutrition from the ground. So that's considered planting. If you take a flower pot with a hole, if let's say you assume it's not muksa, and you bring it from inside the house to outside the house, that is not allowed on Shabbos. Also, if it's already outdoors, you're not allowed to bring it indoors, or you're not allowed to bring it onto a deck, because you are cutting off the nutrition that it gets from the ground. Those are all cases when it has a hole. When it has a hole, you have to consider as if it's connected to the ground. If it doesn't have a hole, then we say then it's considered as if it's not connected to the ground, and you're allowed to move it around. You can move it inside, outside, then it's not a problem.
It's not muksa plants.
Most Paiskim seem to say it's not Muksa. Moshe Feinstein seems to say, I saw Brocha Moshe Feinstein, that they are Muksa. Most Paiskim say it's not Muksa because, like we discussed by fish tanks, that since, yes, fish are Muksa, but if it's something that's pretty and it's there for the to make something pretty, so then that has a use, and we say that therefore it is not Muksa on Shabbos. Okay, so Bez Hashem, next time we will do the next malacha of Choresh, which includes dragging chairs on the floor, playing ball outdoors, sweeping the kitchen, and walking on dirt with high heels and carriages and wheelchairs and canes and Bez Hashem, things like that.